Oh, hello everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max, doing my best Vampiro impression. To my right, who the man who is always here, it's
Travis.
Always here.
He was moving his the arm gestures and everything that was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Hi guys. Hey,
we've got two episodes to go through. Episode 14 and 15.
Yeah, and as I mentioned online, that's what we're gonna. That's what we're going to do leading up to the finish here. I think it fits. I was talking to Max here before. It's starting to like, and this really. I think this will work for us definitely. And I think it should work leading up to that Ultima Lucha Cuatro, in terms of just packing up, putting out the best material we possibly can at this time.
I think that is fair.
Yes.
For sure.
In this series.
We've always tried to be quality over quantity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And so this helps us with that.
Yep. And we're officially at prowrestlingonly.com now. There's a link there to us in our SoundCloud. So if you want to find us or look back, you should be able to find some old stuff there. That's exciting because Charles has been working hard on that for a while, and he's still just kind of... The website itself is still a work in progress, but it's getting better and better.
News and notes?
Yeah. Oh, I remember when we were talking about All In a while back, we left out Phoenix being in that last match that was cut short in terms of Lucha Underground talent. And I feel like I don't know if we did talk about it or not, but just the fact that I had heard that WWE is interested in Pentagon, Phoenix, and Bandido. Like all.
I hadn't heard about Bandido.
Yeah. Which obviously makes sense, right? And usually, sure. With people with like Phoenix and Pentagon, you know, like or with anybody that you really like, and like now they're moving on, they're kind of like, all right, oh yeah, it makes sense. It's sad that we're gonna lose them, but for some reason, I think Phoenix and Pentagon could really do something there.
No.
And could find a good little niche. No, because those types of characters have never really existed there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Phoenix, to some extent, there's been, but he's something special, as we'll talk about a bit more.
I think anybody can thrive in the NXT.
Yeah, but I think even on main roster, I can see Pentagon Dark becoming whatever as big as. I don't think they want anybody to be big stars on the main roster anymore. I think that's kind of become company policy. But I think he'd fit right in and could move some merch if nothing else. Pentagon for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I don't know. From what perspective do I offer my opinion about this? It's like, and from a fan perspective, mm-hmm. I feel like when you join main roster, you have changed careers.
Yeah.
And whatever, you have retired from professional wrestling.
No, I don't know.
That's my personal perspective.
Okay.
So you go to main roster. Hey, it was great. I hope you come back one day.
Yes.
But you're gone. You're off doing something completely different.
Okay.
So I it makes me cringe at the idea.
Mm-hmm.
From in terms of like people making money and doing well and all that sort of stuff, by all means.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm happy for them. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
In terms of like wanting to see interesting stories told through the medium of professional wrestling, that will not happen.
Sometimes it does, though. Sometimes,
but it's not worth waiting. It's not worth watching it in order to find the stuff that does.
I agree.
So,
but there is. I think in terms of indie people going to the main roster and either not working or working to whatever degree, I think Pentagon could work a bit more in that.
You think he's going to be breaking arms?
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Why the hell not?
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
It won't. Dude, it's not going to go well. It hasn't gone well for anybody.
Normally I'd agree with you, but for
some reason, there's something in the air that makes you think of something about those guys.
I do.
Maybe if they were doing something that was like a Mexico division, that could be cool. And just like a show that just takes place in like, you know, shot out of some venue in Mexico City.
Or
that could be okay.
Or a credible stable with of all the like the great luchadors that they will have on the roster at that point.
That leads me to another news and note. I don't know if you saw that Rey Mysterio has signed a 2-year deal with WWE, and they're just waiting for the right time to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could see if they packaged up all three of those guys, and that could be cool. Then you loop in Callisto and Sin Cara, and now you've got these five.
And Grand Metalik.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What a perfect example of all the things I was just talking about.
But on 205 Live, he's producing good work, and within that frame, 205 Live has been a good show since Enzo disappeared and had to go away.
I've been meaning to check it out. Yeah, I hear good things. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I won't lie.
Yeah. Other than that, that Jericho Cruise coming up, I saw, I was looking at the 10
that hasn't
match.
Happened yet. I feel like I've been hearing about this Jericho Cruise
forever. It's just over a month away, I think. In that 10-way match, amongst, there's some other Lucha Underground match, but or some other Lucha Underground talent on there as well. But I think it was just announced that Morrison and Cage are part of one of the teams. Mundo and Cage.
Have we ever discussed that Mundo is on Survivor right now?
No, we haven't. But I haven't watched any of it.
Not at all. But he's on Survivor.
Yeah. I've
somehow
seen snippets. Yeah.
I feel like it's weird that it has never really bubbled up on any wrestling media.
I know. Interesting.
Seems very weird, right?
Yeah. You don't even really see him. Like, we follow him. You don't really see him kind of promoting it.
It's so weird.
Himself, yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird little afterthought. Yeah.
I mean, he's probably in front of more people every week than he ever was when he was in, like, WWE.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. How popular is Survivor? Do people still watch Survivor?
Great question. Yeah. I have no idea.
What's the last full season of Survivor you watched?
The first one.
Yeah.
I never watched one after that.
I think I might have watched 3 to 4 seasons, tops. Yeah, but it's still going. How many Big Brother seasons have you watched?
Zero.
Me too. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of Big Brother.
Yeah.
These things, people love this show.
Which actually reminds me, I did discover something else recently.
Yeah.
Mr. Pectacular was on Big Brother.
What?
Yeah.
How long ago?
I have no idea.
Are you for real?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I get anytime any Lucha Underground news breaks, I get an email. And I was like, this guy.
That was news.
Yeah. It was not that he was. He's actually, it was news because he was releasing a music video.
What?
I don't know.
What? So you just saw this guy's real name?
Yeah. I think it's Jesse Goddard.
Huh.
Yeah. And I guess he was on Big Brother and he's also a wrestler. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. This is the premiere.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground after show. Well, we don't know anything.
It's been an interesting season in terms of talent and,
And
coming and going. And these two episodes finished with definitely being no exception.
Yeah, that's true.
Surprise talent.
All right. Well, we should get into it.
Ring the bell.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 14. The recap begins with Joey Ryan, Eva Lee, Sinexo, as well as Pentagon Dark and King Cuerno. The Mil Muertes, Katrina, and that epic opening with Phoenix, reminding us of his
the recap.
Alive, but he's got them creepy eyes.
The recap of the sequence was almost as long as the sequence itself.
I thought that as well. We enter the temple, El Conjunto Nueva Ola.
Nicely done.
Killing it. There's been a great bands all season long. Like we were a little more, we'd been a little more critical of this in the past, but it's only been the three bands, but they've been three solid bands.
We're on track to have one more band.
I believe so.
Chimps.
Oh God, that, I hope they don't finish with that. I hope it's just that dude who writes that with that kind of epic style or plays that kind of epic. It was just like that one guy. Remember, I found out he was like a film composer. I did some.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was just this one Mexican like film composer.
Oh, yeah. That guy, he kind of had the mohawk.
Yeah.
That guy was good.
Yeah. I think that could be a good finish, right? Especially if they go out epic. As we're in the temple, they report that Phoenix is back and the Super Friends are reuniting. Our first match is Eva Lee versus Dragon Azteca Jr. for the Gift of the Gods.
Yeah.
Here early on, we hear them mention again that the future of Mundo is in doubt. That's the only time we hear his name in either of these episodes. Logical start to this with Dragon.
Yeah, he probably had to go do Survivor.
You might be
right. That must have
Maybe he got that news right in the middle of
yeah.
this.
Yeah. I mean, he...
Possible.
It takes a long time.
I would imagine.
You go to an island.
Yeah.
They cut you off.
Yeah.
from all contact.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I wonder if, like, so how far, how many episodes, how many episodes into Survivor are they this season, do you think? Are they halfway through?
I have no idea.
I didn't know when they started, yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Anyways, but I mean, like, maybe he was done early, but couldn't come back because of other, like, kind of.
Or maybe he wins Survivor.
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We have no idea.
Yeah.
I do another podcast about reality television, and it's really crazy how seriously they take, like, cutting you off from people, even if you're eliminated.
I believe it.
When you first get to, like, on your first day of filming, they take away your phone, and you're not allowed to have any contact with the outside world until you're done. Wow. The only people you're interacting with are cast, crew, and your fellow competitors. Mm. That's why I think the drama bubbles up so much.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So,
among other things, they're just feeding them alcohol and some of these things too.
Oh God, I know. Remember that stuff that happened with The Bachelor or whatever?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it just sounds like an awful set. It just sounds like the worst. Anyways, Dragon Azteca working on top here to begin with makes sense. There's a really kind of crazy Boston Crab spot. Remember where he really bent her out of shape?
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Ivelisse hits a nice DDT in for a near fall, and then spider hold that Dragon Azteca kind of fights out of. Dragon Azteca Jr. dives out of the ring onto the steel banister. I have that written down as a first. I'm trying to remember what it was exactly. I watched this last night.
He just did a springboard off the top rope and just landed on the banister.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was going for a double axe handle or something
hit it. I remember it stood out to me. Ivelisse hits her running code red for a near fall. How many of those did we see? And they all had different names every time we saw them in these two episodes. That's the most overused.
You see it in Lucha shows all the time.
Independent wrestling, like everybody says, can you even do a code red anymore, man?
Yeah, it's, don't know, it's crazy.
Yeah. it was onto the steel banister. Yeah, he dove out on the ring and landed on the steel banister. Dragon Azteca really sold her spin kick well. The fans are really behind her. As it always happens, it's interesting. So here he's almost working like a heel in this match, but it was still, it was a good kind of read on the crowd. What did you find?
I'm finding stuff about Survivor.
Yeah.
So this season, this is season 36.
Mm-hmm.
And they've divided up teams into the Davids versus Goliaths.
Okay.
And John Hennigan is on Team Goliath.
Of course.
There are only two episodes in, so he appears to have not been eliminated at this point. But
There spoilers? You're on Wikipedia here?
I'm just on Wikipedia. Yeah. No spoilers.
Okay.
So he survives. This is your Johnny Mundo Survivor update.
The tribe has spoken.
Probst still doing it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, this was fine. There was some good work. The finish was ultimately a little anticlimactic, but whatever was done. Nice ovation for Ivelisse afterwards.
Yep. How do you feel about... So Ivelisse is... We've mentioned it before, but her current ring gear is quite revealing from the bottom down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that... I mean, how do you feel about... women wrestlers in that kind of getup? Do you think it is fine?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it hurts female wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it's individual. It depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think the character could be part of it too, or how much you're calling attention to it, and how that attention is done in a what could be considered a body positive way, perhaps. Right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it totally depends on the individual. What you're saying is, do I think she's showing too much ass cheek?
Yes.
To get the call up right now after I'd been, see how I was so walking on eggshells there, that just kind of
yes,
all my credibility.
Not really. I'd say your credibility went through the roof.
Yeah, great. I think look at like Jordynne Grace. Did you watch that? Have you seen that? Did you see the All In Battle Royale yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Battle Royale. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But I saw a clip of her. She's wearing like a big singlet, right?
Yeah.
She's not.
But she's showing all booty. Like,
oh, is she?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I didn't know.
And I don't think that's holding her back. And I think they'd probably alter it a bit. But, you know, there's a lot, that's cheeks aplenty in WWE and, at times, too.
This is true. This is true. I feel the same way. I think that there's a contingent of people that see any woman wrestler who is showing just slightly more skin than what you would expect if they were an actual pro athlete, I suppose, that seem to want to point to it as being like that, you know,
a crutch
or, you know, like a social crime or something like this. And it's holding back the gender as a whole. The Scarlett Bordeaux person has been in the media a lot. I don't know if you've. She's a bit of a throwback to like Attitude Era women's wrestling. And kind of got me thinking about that a little bit more.
Well, I mean, you still. Maria Kanellis, when she was in New Japan, was all
right? Yeah. Not a wrestler, though, which is, I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
Good point.
Yeah.
This is a whole other conversation, my friend. And it's a long one, I think.
That's fair.
And I don't think we're the first to have it.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about this match was, do you think it was, because Dragon Azteca is being presented here as being a definite like baby face who's like a fighting champ. Do you think, what do you think about the decision of simply of putting him in an intergender match with such like a primo baby face as Eva Lys?
I think it's a tough fine line to walk, but I think somehow they pull it off. Like, I think he was almost kind of playing the heel here. He was never like uber despicable.
That's true.
Just kind of doing what he had to do. And then at the end, it's still kind of, but the main goal was to, again, which is like impossible not to do, is to make Eva Lys look like the plucky underdog. Cause she always does.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think that, and that led to, you know, again, we see, Dragon Azteca Jr. being a fighting champion. And again, even like this is who he's presented with. And, and he's still kind of honorable on the way out, but then it moves along the storyline with what happened afterwards with Joey Ryan and EXO, who I guess are they an item now?
I don't know.
No. they're on the top of the stairs, but she had been, kind of stayed behind it. But she was kind of pouting, like, you know, this affected her, right? Like, like that was a nice touch too. She's got that real kind of competitive spirit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. She believes she could have done it.
Yeah, but through whole, do you remember when they're talking to her, it was XO talking, the edit points were horrendous through all of this.
I know. I did notice that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the average person would, but it definitely stuck out to me, especially like sometimes, it seemed to be the shots they would use for XO and Joey Ryan, they just seemed so strange. I wonder why. I wonder why they had to do that.
I don't know either.
Definitely some kind of, anytime that kind of stuff happens, you feel like they're covering up for some sort of production mishap.
Yeah, right? Or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a new Trios team. I'd assume when we finish this thing, they will be the Trios champions. I'm gonna throw that out there right now.
I think that would
be. And it'll finish with an on-screen kiss between EXO and Joey Ryan.
Oh, I love this. I think you're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure, for sure. That's a nice thing. That's a nice nod to Eva Lys as well. And I mean, assuming this is where the Lucha Underground tale comes to a close, it'd be nice for her to go out on top as Trios champion. Because that's really always been her best story, was when she was going through that. Yeah. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Anyways.
But I want to quiz you on something.
Okay.
Just going back, sorry, I want to talk a little bit more about intergender wrestling. And just that idea of Dragon Azteca. Was he the heel? Was he not the heel? And I think for me personally, I don't know if the listeners feel the same way, but it occurred to me that it really comes down to individual moves. And I feel like certain moves are heel moves and certain moves are babyface moves. And I don't think that this match was conducted in a way that was cognizant of that.
Sure.
So I want to throw some moves at you.
Great.
And I want you to tell me can a babyface male hit a babyface female with this move and be considered still a babyface.
Okay, that's a good caveat, adding the babyface female.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start it off easy. Open hand slap to the face.
I don't think that is easy. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's heat.
I agree. And therefore, a closed fist to the face.
Even worse.
Even worse.
Yeah.
And yet,
did we see one today?
We've had a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
What about a?
But I think it depends on the in the what when it's occurring in the match.
Sure.
What's been kind of established between the two?
Let's call it. Yeah. There's always nuance.
Yeah.
Any of these could be set up in a way.
Yeah.
But there's just something about some of these moves. I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think. Okay. What about flying elbow off the top rope to a laid out
sprawl?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that'd probably get you heat more often than not. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because she's defenseless and you're going for like the coup de grace, right? What about a simple like power slam? Not a power slam, but like a simple suplex.
Again,
pick you up and body
I think
slam
with
you.
All of these, it's like depending on the context. What if she's just like a terrible person who's ruined your life?
Yes.
Storyline wise, through all of this, and we've all been watching it.
I know, like, but that is not the case. We're talking about a simple match with with random stakes, just like this one.
Okay.
Right. Body slam.
Body slam, fine.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I know.
Because a body slam.
In real life?
Yeah, we weigh worse. But it's like, that's the sport of wrestling. Yes. We're here as sports competitors, so I can pick you up and slam you.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But something about a punch. What about a cutter?
Yeah, no, that's ugly.
Yeah. What about the sharpshooter?
I think I was just going to say anything submission is probably the best thing to get away with.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, okay, I'm just want to end this quickly, get it done with.
Totally. Yeah. See, I think that there just needs to be more study done. I think that
there's been lots.
I don't know, man.
No, I know there's been lots.
Really?
Like people are done. Like wrestling pundits are like done talking about it. This is like conversations from like, 5 or 6 years ago, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, we could look into it. But this, I think what you're doing here with the moves, I think that might be new.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that there needs to be, there should be a code of conduct. I don't think anybody's really sat down to be like, okay, in these scenarios in intergender wrestling, what gets you heat and what doesn't? Because it's not, people view it through such a unique view that you can't really rely on the same things as if it was two men.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Big time.
Yeah. It's got a lot more. You have to operate with way more nuance, which, as we all know, is wrestling's strong suit.
Yes.
So.
All right. Next match. King Cuerno versus ... I wrote. Antonio Cueto enters. Reminds King Cuerno of another man who has been more dominant. A man who just so happens to hate your guts, mil muertes.
Or King Cuerno.
It is mil muertes. Sorry. I'm probably talking into my phone for my notes here. That's probably, there was no comma.
Right.
Mil muertes opens up with hard forearms, smash arm stuff, or smash mouth stuff. King Cuerno gets some of his fun offense in, goes to the top for a superplex from Mil Muertes. It does happen. Builds to the strike exchange, moves to the outside, and another one. I love them punching the shit out of each other.
Me too.
And it's just going on. Marty Elias tries to get them into the ring, and he is tossed. They punch some more. They just won't stop punching each other.
Yep.
Marty calls for the bell as the brawl continues. Antonio Cueto enters to get them to stop fighting for a second. He says he rewards violence.
Mm-hmm.
Says next week both will compete for the championship in a three-way versus Pentagon Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight resumes as Pentagon Dark watches from above. Just awesome. Just great.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't really judge it as a match because it didn't really go anywhere, but I just loved it. They wouldn't stop beating the shit out of each other. Nobody, as we've said, nobody throws a better punch than Mil Muertes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Man.
We saw it again in the next episode, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah. Great little segment. We come back. The band is playing what I believe to be their biggest hit.
Oh, really?
This is awesome. It's probably the one they get the most requests for.
Sure.
Main event for the Trios Championship. The Super Friends versus the Reptile Tribe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you think of Phoenix's character work here?
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it from this point on.
Yeah.
Going into what we see from him in the next episode, too.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean. Like, he's showing range, man.
I think I have one
Oh yeah.
What did I do differently? The only thing.
Too much drooling.
That's no, okay. I love the drooling.
Really?
I loved
the drooling. Yeah, but I have a thing with saliva.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I love the drooling. His eyes. I think his mask, if they should have put in like a mesh or something. Yeah. So you couldn't quite see his eyes because he's doing great character work, but his eyes are lying. His eyes are giving it away that he's acting. But if you covered those eyes, then it would be awesome. But it's no fault of his. The whole thing is fantastic. Yeah.
Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Melissa Santos looks concerned right away. My God. Her from this point on, too. Mm-hmm. Her performance from this point on. Whew.
Yeah.
Whew, whew, whew. Basically, from... Honestly, like, we're talking about two episodes. And I think, as I said, there's a reason why I like that we're kind of going over two episodes now. Because it helps us to get through the plot that they're trying to advance here. But from this... Like, if you could think of from this point on to the end of the next episode, even though I like got a spoiler, I think the next episode we're going to review is an all-time episode. I thought it was so well written, man. Mm-hmm. But this starts... this really starts to move that forward as we learn more about the Phoenix character.
Yeah.
It's going... This is one of the best angles they've had, I think.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And because it feels... meaningful.
Yeah.
And it's been a while
since
something has felt meaningful.
And it's somebody with huge talent who is doing something even that we haven't seen them do yet.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. They're being challenged in a way that we don't often see for not just this wrestler, but for any wrestler, right? Yeah. Imagine, you know, if you think about Pentagon basically going from heel to babyface, that was a transition that was less difficult. His character hasn't changed, right?
That's true.
Just the booking has changed. That's it. Phoenix has had to alter who he is.
He had to die and come back from the dead.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I love it.
So anyways, they're all in there. And as I said, Melissa looks concerned and enter your boy, the Savage, Jake Strong.
Yeah.
He says, hello, Drago, Aerostar. Look, he's so monotone, man. It says, a wrestler beats a luchador. And then for some reason, there was like, we got a close-up of those two guys chanting.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell what they were saying at all. But they made a point of hearing these two guys.
Maybe they were saying something in Spanish.
Maybe.
But I also was like, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't even remember what Jake Strong was saying.
Funny how that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is he... Anyways.
So he came out to, challenge all three of them for the Lucha...
Yeah. If they should win or something or...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. If they win, he'll...
He's after somebody.
Well, he wanted to fight all three of them for the Trios Champions. Yeah, but is that going to happen? I don't think so.
Not anytime soon.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what that was about. I think that was just to get heat on Jake Strong so he could go and say a wrestler beats a luchador and just have that be it.
Maybe. Anyways, Reptile Tribe dominates Drago with some sharp tag team wrestling early. Some really really good sharp tag team wrestling from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Until Daga catches somebody. Fun spot off the top with the three of them, followed by a tilt-the-world DDT near fall. Phoenix enters with a cold-blooded cutter. And here's the thing with him. We're talking about move sets. He has such a babyface move set, but he's doing the little things before and after to make them kind of work, right?
Sure.
Because like infamously, Owen Hart had to ground himself when he became a heel in WWF at the time. But I can imagine if they could have gone this direction, it could have worked for him too, and he could have been a bigger star than he was. But,
I did feel like he was busting out new moves, moves I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's some interesting drivers and things like that.
And there was one kick to the head in the next episode too that was great.
Yeah.
Nice subtle edge, as I said. Hard tag on Aerostar. Tagged him really hard. Aerostar with a fun corkscrew to start his shine. He's cut short by Jeremiah Snake.
Snake.
Yeah, whatever. Drago eventually enters to get the pace up. Aerostar hits a nice crossbody to the outside. Drago tags Phoenix. He eventually enters to assist Drago with a high spot. It took him a while to come in, right? So you're starting to see the inner... torment, the demons coming to the surface. Phoenix finally turns on Aerostar with a nasty super kick. Melissa Santos is on the outside. and just shocked. Jeremiah enters with a modified pile driver for the win. Cobra Moon announces the winner. Melissa Santos tries to get...
I thought that was a really nice touch, too. Yeah. That Cobra Moon was the one
took
who took the mic and just did it.
Yeah. And she's trying to get... She's like, Phoenix, what's wrong? Kind of thing. Like, you're really seeing it in her eyes. He turns, grabs her, and pushes her to the ground. Shocking.
Loved it.
Yeah, so good. Last segment, though, after this.
But
this,
who comes out to...
Oh, yeah, the Dragon Azteca.
That's right.
To just kind of like tell him to mm-hmm. head off. So that, yeah, and that kind of sets up what we're going to see. Mm-hmm. This was great. Really good stuff. And then it follows with this last segment that I thought was just kind of an extra little thing they were adding. But oh no. Anyways, Antonio Cueto trying to open a Modelo with a hammer.
And just like really not being successful at it either.
Just, that was such a weird thing to throw in there.
I know. Like, just do another cut. Do another take.
I think they're trying to showcase how low rent he is compared to Dario.
Maybe.
With little things like this.
I don't know.
That's so funny.
It was so weird.
So weird. Marty bangs on the door. Marty the Moth Martinez. Looks like he's all healed. Looks like you're all healed up. Mm-hmm. From when his arm was broken, so he still got heat with Pentagon Dark. We know that. He drops Cash and says he wants a Gift of the Gods title match because he did the same thing for Mariposa.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Cueto offers him, yes, the match. Marty drops some more Cash, and it finishes with, there's something else I want.
Mm-hmm.
So nice little cliffhanger there.
Yeah.
yeah, solid episode.
Absolutely.
Especially the finish there. I did not drop... snowflakes this time around.
We only really had one true match with mm-hmm. a clean finish. That was Ivelisse and Dragon Azteca Jr., but it was fine because everything else made sense, right?
Yeah.
You can have scurry finishes if it feels like it's leading mm-hmm. someplace meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so, great ep, I thought.
Plus, again, another spoiler, Flurry's on the horizon.
What do you mean?
Some snow may fall in the near future.
What are you talking about?
Snowflakes may come later on in our podcast. I may have enjoyed a
match. He's not Canadian. He's from Alberta.
Fuck's sake. Let's take a quick break. We've got some new ads here to hear from our friends at ProWrestlingOnly.com. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade, and with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads, our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, check out all of this and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com.
Well done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think in the future, too, we could start putting together our own ads.
Oh.
Some of
sure.
The, why not? What are they going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, shall we continue?
Let's do it.
Because
ring the bell.
My goodness, just goes from here on in, as I said, like I would... I don't think we had reached the highs. I mean, we had some good matches. I remember a while back on, I said, hey, this is probably the best episode of the season. I don't think we had really reached the highs of the series itself until this episode.
Of the whole series?
Come close to reaching. I don't think
this season?
Is like the peak.
Wait, you're talking about the season, or the show?
High points in terms of quality here, right?
Okay.
And especially in terms of like a single episode, this is a great episode of television, this one here. This reminded me, like in terms of a single solitary episode, Pentagon versus Black Lotus Triad. I thought this was like different, but ooh, boy, what a great thread the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this.
Hmm.
Lucha Underground, season 4, episode 15. I believe it was called Pet Cemetery. we never say the titles, but we used to when we do the like what's up next week. But some of the names are pretty good. Recap. Again, that whole Phoenix murder, revival, betrayal.
Again, third time.
Yeah.
Getting shorter every
but
time
it's
now.
Good, it's good. Dragon Azteca's Gift of the Gods defenses. And Pentagon Dark breaking Marty's arm and Marty asking for a match. And that leads us to our first match, which is Phoenix versus Aerostar. Right away, there is pain in Melissa's voice.
Oh,
as,
yeah.
as she's announcing.
This is good.
And like that's just the tone set for every they were doing every little thing right, I thought, in this episode. Phoenix just keeps the water in his mouth now. That's what in terms of Julie, because normally he'd spit it out at the top of the thing.
I know.
And it's there, and it's just kind of there, and you can tell. I guess he just drinks it. Either that or it all just kind of falls out.
I think he's holding it in his mouth so that he can let some of it out, drool.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty good.
I love it. Yeah, he's a smart dude. Yeah,
good friction between him and Melissa Santos. There is an introduction by Matt Stryker about Aerostar that I would like to have you add to the soundboard at some point.
It's so the one that's super long and convoluted.
Yes.
It's like, oh, in the Byzantine era.
Yes.
And, oh,
yeah.
God.
From the galaxy and a hero for us all. It is so he was reading copy there. It's like Aerostar. Hey, Matt, can you please just try to fit this in at some point?
Do you think? I wonder, how much does Aerostar really care about the backstory for his character? Or is he just whatever? Sure,
yeah.
I'm a time traveler. Sure.
Is he getting these call sheets or the scripts the day before? And are you guys serious?
I wonder. I don't know enough about Lucha Libre to really know how much a modern luchador, how much their character is really, what opportunities they have to talk about who they're masked persona is, right? Maybe most of it is just sort of unspoken and the fans just project what they want. Or maybe it's not. Maybe there is all sorts of avenues that I just don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, there's always lots to learn, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of trying to figure it out at the beginning, how is Phoenix going to be? And it just starts with boom, here's that nasty kick right away to start that we saw at the start of the last episode. Phoenix again with those great mannerisms and changes, the subtle changes to his moveset. I wrote, it's great that he's showing that range. Awesome dive from Aerostar. And so there were spots here, right? You're starting to get kind of spotty, but there was a great emotional energy to everything. He's like, what are you doing, man, with Aerostar? Phoenix slams Aerostar into the stands, into the thing there.
Yeah.
Quick look at Melissa, a quick glance over at her.
Yeah.
This is where I wrote, I was not sure about the drooling at this point, but that's just my saliva phobia, I guess.
I love it.
Flipping pile driver, a nice springboard DDT, really good boots sequence into another flipping pile driver. Awesome set of moves from Phoenix to finish. Followed by a beatdown. Great match. I got 3.5 on this. And I just think this storyline is so hot right now.
I agree. I think it might have been Aerostar's best match in Lucha Underground.
Maybe. You might go back to those Dragos. That might be your
that's true. I wouldn't mind revisiting the final of that.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since I watched it. But this has been at least the freshest Aerostar match I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, me too. And again, we start to see more of that great performance from Melissa where everyone can just hear her shouting partially in Spanish.
Oh,
partially
what
in
a
English.
Nice touch.
I know. And she's like, my Phoenix. She calls his name. Oh my God. It was getting heavy, man. Phoenix eventually leaves the ring and grabs her and enter Dragon Azteca Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He saves her, but he gets a beatdown. And this is when you saw that really nasty kick to his face on the side of the apron there.
Mm.
And to go to break, it's just, again, this is so well done. Melissa calling for a medic, just as they go, wow.
Yeah.
It's just from this point, from the start here to this point, just flawless, really good.
Yeah. Anytime you can tell a story like this where one match impacts the next match, which impacts the next match, and that kind of stuff, that kind of storytelling is so rare. It's I think it's the type of thing that every indie show should be aiming for in every live show. When you bring out a bunch of random people, 50% of your audience is there for the wrestling. 50%'s been dragged there by the people and they don't know what's in store for. If you tell a story like that, it makes it so meaningful. It makes it so much more impactful. It's a challenge. I don't know how you do it every single time, but man, there are ways, and this episode proves it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even the commentary was good as he was getting the beat down because Stryker reminded us that Dragon Azteca still has to defend his title tonight. He's still scheduled to defend his title.
Mm-hmm.
So after we come back, we see him down.
He's still down. I was surprised by this when we came back and he was still down. I was oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. This is still happening.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Antonio Cueto enters. This is unfortunate. he is in no condition to defend the title tonight. We'll have to call this a forfeit. And like, oh, the crowd is like, no, what? But he wants to fight. He's like, you really do have the heart of a champion. The match begins. Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Marty the Moth. And I just think this is just nightmare scenario for Melissa too, because there's that.
Yes.
Her new abuser and her previous abuser are just causing her this terrible torment.
To the only person who's there who can help her out, which is Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah.
Her only ally.
And he just got the beat down. She's just incredible. Like her acting here is great. Mm-hmm. Great.
And this is the first match we've had with Marty this season, yeah, aside from his appearance in Aztec Warfare.
When he got was his arm broken in Aztec mm-hmm. Warfare. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. He seemed
he looked focused right away and in better shape, I thought.
Oh, really? I was about to say the opposite. Yeah. I feel like he had slimmed down and he looked like he didn't have as much
muscle. But he still had like that bit of a gut, yeah. Sure. I've been watching, he's been playing, doing live plays of Spider-Man, the PS4 lately.
Oh, really?
It's pretty good. It's the only time I've ever seen any actual gameplay is watching him. Dragon Azteca's really selling the Phoenix beatdown right away at the beginning. He still is able to get in some nice offense.
Mm-hmm.
Marty goes for the mask, nasty backbreaker off the turnbuckle.
Now, I did not, this entire time I'm watching this, mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's any chance that Dragon Azteca is going to lose this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's just going to take this all the way to the to the final. He'll cash it in Ultima Lucha, and maybe he'll win the championship.
I might not have, but... there was something about the fact that we started with Dragon Azteca still injured coming back from that thing that I started to get that seed of doubt. And his selling was so good. Marty takes a nasty looking bump off the turnbuckle to the outside, and Dragon Azteca hits a Rana, then a flip to the outside. Like he was doing still like just digging deep here. Mm-hmm. Great drama. Marty with strong facials here too. Like he's got a different kind of look, different kind of smile on his face. Like he's got a method to his madness. Nasty finisher for the win. Great stuff, storyline.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker. And even then, at this point, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I probably in a couple of weeks, they'll figure out some way for Dragon Azteca to get it back. Mm. But of course, that doesn't happen.
No, I just wrote, poor Melissa. Poor Melissa. She has to read that he's won this. Great heel work with Marty with the belt afterwards, like getting him to put it on, getting the ref to put it on him. And right, I just wrote, this is a great episode so far.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, from there, like I didn't, you know, you can't drop snowflakes on that necessarily just because he's working from underneath, in so much pain. Because that's the storyline. It's just there's no way he can really turn this into a real match. He tried to, but he couldn't. That was great.
Are you saying that the only matches that can get snowflakes are matches that begin as even competition?
Not necessarily, but I think for something like this to start to get into like great territory, it'd have to be kind of sprawling and like him like, how is he still surviving?
You know what I mean? Longer, more time.
Yeah, maybe. More room to breathe.
Yeah.
Or more, like, because he was building up drama, but like, they are still kind of... it did what it had to do.
Yeah.
This
probably would have hooked me a little bit more if it had been longer. Because up until when it happened, it felt like a shock. I was just so convinced mm-hmm. there's no way he's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just felt like, I mean, an impressive swerve for me.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. And that cuts to a Rabbit Tribe segment. It's been a while.
That's right.
We got the weirdo sitting next to his his thing. Jack London said he'd been waiting for a month. Paul London. Jack London, writer of White Fang. Paul London said he'd been waiting for a month in like some sort of limbo or whatever it is it takes you to get to that thing. I like that. Because it has probably been about a month since he saw the guy. It talks about his the sacrifice as a display of loyalty to this guy, and the guy says El Bunny, so we know the name of the other guy. El Bunny and I are ready to move. Can you show us the way to the temple? And Paul Lennon is accommodating.
And so this is the new rabbit. This is the new trios team.
These three, yeah.
Weird.
Yep.
Not what I was expecting. expecting, but I guess I didn't know what I was expecting.
No. Who knows what to expect with those crazy
guys. I'm excited to see El Bunny in action. Yeah. I mean, we have always been assuming it's just Masquerita Sagrada.
Of course.
And who is this other dude? Uh-huh. There's probably some people out there in the world that know exactly who he is.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I was looking at something Cross, not Matt Cross. Obviously not, but it's something like that. Killer Cross, Killer something like that, or like Killer Crocs or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
It was a name that I had heard before. I'd never seen him wrestle them.
Yeah. Well, I'm always excited to see somebody.
Me too. But that leads us to this main event, or what we thought was going to be the main event. Three-way match for the Lucha Underground Championship. King Cuerno versus Mil Muertes versus the champion Pentagon Dark. Mil Muertes with his usual shit beating to start, like he always does, just gets him into the corner, just pounding the crap out of them. And two more really solid punches. He is so good at that. It never ceases to be not great.
Yeah. I was thinking a lot about Mil Muertes when I was watching these two episodes, because I feel like the big thing when the lights go off on Lucha Underground, I think the biggest impact it will have ever had is that it had introduced Phoenix and Pentagon to a much wider audience, and then they've gone on to do all of these amazing things.
Mm-hmm. And Ricochet to a lesser extent.
To a lesser extent, yes. But that's a fair point.
Yeah.
But Phoenix and Pentagon, they remain their own sort of characters, right, coming out of that. Mm-hmm. I think Ricochet, the problem is that he was Prince Puma. Mm-hmm. You can't really book Prince Puma, or maybe you can, I don't know. But really, in some ways, it's tragic that Mil Muertes doesn't get that same level of respect. It feels like he is just as talented as these two guys. He's a different type of wrestler than those two guys.
Yeah.
But what he does is at the same level. He's like a 9 out of 10 every single match.
Every match.
And so why is he regulated to...
Yeah, why is he announcing on Twitter that he's available for dates? That was literally like 3 days ago.
It's madness.
Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah.
And maybe it does come down to the fact that he's playing a character that you can't book. Like, you can't book Mil Muertes.
Mickey Banderas. Yeah, good point. He does use the mask to a lot in different. At least I see him using it.
So good.
Yeah, I just think there's something that's not sexy about it. Even though I can totally see the spots for him all over the place.
No kidding.
Yeah.
If he just needs to do one gig in PWG, and then the world will just open up to him.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And they book brawlers they book like monsters
Keith Lee,
totally oh my god can you imagine there's just something maybe he's a huge prick just the worst person to work with.
Like, I am never leaving Mexico ever.
That's right. I did a little research into him today
yeah
to see like where have you been wrestling, what's been going on, and randomly I discovered he did a match in Qatar.
Wild.
I know. There was some like Qatar wrestling company. What? He did one match there in 2017.
Wow.
And John Morrison was also there. Mm. And so was Alberto El Patron. Mm. They were all on the same show.
Qatar. Wild.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That company has not had an event since for a few years, but still pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mil Muertes. The two of them end up having to team up on him early. Pentagon Dark turns on King Cuerno and flips out to Mil Muertes. This was good. There's good logic to this early on. King Cuerno hits his tope, led to some of that great brawling outside. Right away, Pentagon's mask is torn off, basically torn right off.
And just like a perfect tear.
Yeah.
Because there was no danger of actually seeing his face.
Yeah, yeah. It
was
even just like it's all of his eyes.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like forehead.
So good, though.
Yeah, Pentagon Dark was hip tossed into three fans, and they were not ready for that. I wonder if they were plat. Mil Muertes and King Cuerno go into the ring for some great work back and forth. It was short, but between the two of them, really good stuff. Before Pentagon Dark comes back, he hits a stomp off the top for a near fall. King Cuerno with a nice knee strike, a pair of lung blowers to Mil Muertes, package pile driver for the win.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of an anticlimactic finish.
I felt the same way.
Really good stuff. I still went 3 stars on this.
Oh, yeah.
But right away, Marty comes in for the beatdown, hits Pentagon Dark with the belt. I'm like, this is good. But I was watching this on YouTube, and an ad came up at that point. And I'm like, why are they throwing up ads here at the end of this episode?
Yeah.
I feel it? And I'm like, I see, like, oh my gosh, There's still so much 7 minutes left in this episode.
I felt the same way. When it ended, I was like, I noticed the time code, and I was like, wait, this is weird. Maybe there's going to be, but I just assumed it was going to be some sort of vignette or something like this. Yeah, I didn't think it would be any more in-ring. Anyways. I thought we were definitely coming to the end of that.
Yeah.
Because I, as an avid viewer of Lucha Underground, am aware of the stipulations around the Gift of the God Championship. You cannot, you just cash that in like it's
You can't run the premier Lucha Underground after show on the internet and not know simple shit like that.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's why I thought, oh, well, there's other things that are going to happen. We're going to cut to something.
There
Who knows?
Rules, gentlemen, that we abide by.
That's right.
Anyways, Antonio Cueto enters, said, my son Dario said 1 week's notice. However, Marty made a very convincing argument. I'm like, is Marty cashing it in? Yes, he is. It's the main event now. Marty versus Pentagon Dark for the championship. Crowd is not happy. Not happy. And this is really good stuff.
It was great. And just the fact that they, when they set that up with that vignette at the end of episode 14, it was done in a way that was subtle. It didn't telegraph anything. Mm-hmm. And then in retrospect, when he comes out, it didn't feel cheap because you knew. It's like, this
and it
all
fits. He's come from wealth for a long time. Yeah. Like the waiting for the time to do it. He's got the fire for having his arm broken early on here. Everything. The really, really, really good stuff. He ends up tying his mask to the rope for a beat down, goes for the pin. He's going for quick pins really early. A really funny chest slap spot that went on forever. And then out of nowhere, Chelsea Green enters.
Yeah. Now, that was very confusing.
Yeah.
Was not expecting it. No. Don't know if it was necessary.
Well, I guess what we could find out. Like, I'm like, really? We're introducing entirely new characters now? But
I'm not
opposed
to it.
There's a lot to, there's still 7 episodes left or whatever, right? So I guess it's not that bad. And they have killed off a lot of people, so there's room.
What character do you think she'll be playing?
She hits a ball kick and then hits it one of her code reds or whatever they were calling them this episode, the flipping sunset flip pile driver. Marty comes in, grabs Pentagon Dark for the package pile driver for the win. Shocking. New champion. Wow. Did not see this coming. Even at this point, Pentagon's got to get out of here.
Somehow.
Yeah. Stryker called her Black Widow and she did look kind of spider-like. So possibly, are they finally paying off the spider storyline somehow?
Wow.
Maybe this wasn't the long-term plan ever at all.
But they've just found a way to tie it all up.
Yes.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that as a fan.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a bullshit chant from the crowd. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. This was fantastic.
So what do you think will happen next? Who is he going to defend against?
He
has to defend against someone.
Know.
You know what? I don't even know if I would. Because you can't have him be the champ going into Ultima Lucha Quattro.
I think it's possible.
He would have to do some pretty evil stuff.
Some sort of maybe that's Phoenix's great redemption. Is he's able to turn good and get it back, and that's the last image we're left with.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because of everything that's happened with Phoenix and Marty, and that could work. I think for sure, for sure. Wow. And now, are we going to go back into medallion stuff with the Gift of the Gods again?
Not a lot of time left.
Well, we got like 9 episodes.
As we say, 7. 7, but only 5 more, basically. 16, 17, 18, 19. Only 4 more to build plot to those 3. I mean, you can still fit in building plot for the last 2 nights of Ultima Lucha. So...
Oh, interesting development. Really, really curious to see what happens with the Chelsea Green character for sure.
Yeah, quite a rejuvenation.
Yep.
In terms of, like I said, this was a really good episode of television.
Chelsea Green looked great as
What were you saying? She looked great?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said she didn't look great.
Oh, no. Yeah. I said the opposite.
Yeah, no, she's fine. Chelsea Green in general. I think
I've never seen her wrestle a match except for the one at Owen.
Yeah, I'd seen some of her Impact stuff. a little too much for me, the craziness. I saw whispers of it today. It didn't look like it's too much. Like, it feels too actory, what she does, in terms of the full-on nut job gimmick. But this looks good. This looks good. Okay. I like it.
I'm going to... You know what we haven't seen in a while? Desmond X.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm looking briefly at a list of performers, hoping to find something about who the Rabbit Tribe guy is. But I'm not getting anything here. Nada.
Yeah.
Come on, Wikipedia editors. Keep this stuff up to date. Alrighty. A great couple episodes. Looking forward to see what happens next for
really
sure.
Yeah, good.
Do you think that Dario Cueto will come back by the end of this episode?
I was thinking that. I was really thinking that. I don't know. I like it. I don't know. I mean, it would be amazing. It would be a great moment if they did it right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a deal breaker.
They could do something at the end where everybody who's died comes back to life, and that somehow includes, you know, like a big sweeping sort of resurrection type thing happens. Mm-hmm.
And then back to the 70s.
Fuck yeah. That will be so good.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, good kind of boost in the arm, huge boost in the arm, especially the last segment of episode 14 and this episode. And as I said, this kind of shows me that we should be doing these kind of double eps every 2 weeks. So thanks for being patient with us, viewers. And we do have we do have some exciting things planned for the last three episodes of the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to that. Anything else going on before we want to shut this sucker down?
Gabba gabba goo. Don't think so. Go to prowrestlingonly.com.
All right.
Yeah.
We won't be here next week. We'll be here the week after that, but...
The question is, will you join us?